BRICS was set up to degenerate our dollar and take our dollar as the standard, take it off as the standard. And that's okay if they want to play that game, but I can play that game too.
Trump has strengthened the BRICS. It's not what he expected to do or wanted to do, but it is what he has accomplished.
Welcome to this IBA Global Insight podcast. I'm Tom McGuire, Managing Editor at the IBA. And in this episode, we're looking at the BRICS countries, the economic alliance of states including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. This alliance was formed in response to the dominance of G7 countries, and today's economic and political climate presents the bloc with a number of challenges and opportunities. US President Donald Trump has targeted BRICS countries, placing huge tariffs on Brazil and India most recently, and criticizing the anti-American policies of BRICS. Michael Diaz, Jr., Global Managing Partner at international law firm Diaz Reyes, based in Miami, assesses how the BRICS group, especially China, is seizing the moment.
What's happening around the world gives the opportunity for the BRIC group to continue to politicize their opportunity to put pressure on other countries, specifically the United States, and other Western countries to negotiate better trade opportunities, to negotiate better manufacturing opportunities. There is certainly a perceived opportunity now for BRIC nations, whether it's Russia or China or the entire group, to move forward to negotiate better economic relationships with the West and amongst each other. Whether that actually comes to fruition, that perception, that political opportunity for BRIC nations to make this a reality, or for China and Russia to make this a reality, at the end of the day, it's driven by the economy and how well the economy is doing and who is number one economy in the world. If conflict continues, whether in Ukraine and it's expanded in the Middle East, in Iran, then this becomes an economic driver and not just a political opportunity to exploit, to advance the interest of the BRICS, or at least Russia and China specifically.
In this context, Diaz outlines how the U.S. views China specifically.
Certainly, they have spent an increased amount of focus in making incremental growth and opportunities and scaling up in these relationships. And as a result thereof, there's an increased scrutiny by the United States government, not only in using its economic arm, but also its law enforcement arms, because they do consider China to be the number one threat to their position globally in the global economy. Certainly, if the U.S. economy falters, it'll open up a great opportunity for China to usurp that the role that the United States once had. And I think the U.S. is very concerned about that.
Mihaela Papa, Director of Research and a Principal Research Scientist at the MIT Center for International Studies, discusses the relationship between Russia and China in particular.
When we think about China and Russia, they have been together promoting multipolarity since 1997, and that's when they started with their joint declaration on multipolar world. And since then, they have been trying in a way to reform the system in place, to modernize it, and to basically change the rules of the game. So this current situation is in a way a continuation of what happened before, and there is a normative response from them to kind of reinforce this idea of multipolarity, to reinforce that actually BRICS is important in elaborating norms of international law. It's important in elaborating what the system should look like. And it's important that there are no unilateral coercive measures, including whether sanctions or tariffs. Last year, at the Kazan summit, Russia was actually at the center stage, and BRICS leaders joined Russia and also many other leaders from different countries. The UN Secretary General himself was there. So in a way, that showed that Russia is not really defined by the war, that it was possible for others to compartmentalize and say, we are visiting the BRICS summit in Russia and with President Putin, but we are not necessarily thinking about the war at the same time. And that was like last year, that was a big test. That being said, BRICS is a big Russia's project, and it's almost like Russia's baby. But what happened is that there are times where Russia itself creates problems for BRICS. So, for example, there was the issue of 2023 summit in South Africa, where the President Putin was threatened to basically by the International Criminal Court. And then it wasn't clear whether he would come or he would not come. And that created a major debate in South Africa. And it was not clear until the very end. And this was an issue for the whole BRICS, because it was like, if the summit is not in South Africa, where will it be? And how to deal with this as a human rights issue in a way. It's working very well in tandem with China in the context of BRICS in particular, in the context of consolidating what it calls like the global majority. And it's making progress that way. In a way, the current situation means that BRICS has extra incentive to work together. Because in a way, like BRICS was trying to actually increase its own role internationally and was challenging U.S. dominance. But now when the United States says that it does not want to invest as much in multilateralism, there is a very clear multilateral pathway for China and Russia to increase their influence or basically start reforming or modernizing plans in some other institutions where the United States is still present, but is not as active. I think the bottom line here is that they have a very long border. So, and both want to keep really good relations, both for the neighborhood reasons, but also for regional stability. So there is this basically neighborhood sentiment here. And there are, of course, challenges in the relationship. But one thing that's really interesting is that they are actively creating leverage for each other. So, for example, Russia is opening up ideas, like offering new ideas of what can be done in the Arctic and how China can engage in the Arctic. They are collaborating on their different economic integration projects. They are collaborating on Shanghai Cooperation Organization and new initiatives. So it's not only like their bilateral relationship or the BRICS relationship, but there are different layers, institutional layers of both minilateral security, economic relations that are overlapping and reinforcing each other. So in a way, I don't really see even that like they need to be pushed closer together or that there is a certain external force. But the agreements that are in place are already self-reinforcing.
Hans-Dieter Holtzmann, Project Director for Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay at the Friedrich Naumann Foundation, analyzes the suggestion that BRICS' own payment system, BRICS Pay, or cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, may become alternatives to the hegemony of the US dollar.
When I was a young European economist and the euro was introduced 25 years ago, and we all were extremely enthusiastic and thought that the euro will really be able to challenge the US dollar as a leading currency for central bank reserves and for trade and for settlement. And if you look at the facts now, 25 years later, It's still the US dollar dominating 60% of the reserves of central banks, 80% of the trade, and the euro hasn't actually increased that much over that period of time. It's still roughly 20%, actually. And therefore, I think, you know, everybody has to be quite realistic. So yes, of course, currently, the economic policy of President Trump does currently not help the US dollar, but we have to put that into perspective. The exchange rate between the US dollar and the euro is today 114. Yeah, I mean, we have seen in the last 12 months that fluctuating the exchange rate between the euro and the US dollar between 102 and 114 5 years ago, and people forget that quickly. We were at 120. And 15 years ago, we were at 160. This is quite important, actually, to put that into perspective. So it's not that easy in reality. And I'm leaving that topic of tariffs, actually, and threats of Trump, actually, apart, just from a pure market demand perspective, from a technical perspective. I fully understand why countries which have sanctions in place against them, like Russia and Iran, are interested in BRICS pay and in Bitcoin and blockchain technology. But why would India or Brazil or many of the other countries actually have a significant interest in shifting heavily from the US dollar as still the dominating currency into Bitcoin, where you don't really know who to call if you have any concerns and issues with Bitcoin? We have to differentiate between the current noise in the markets, and we have to see it into a longer perspective and how much it actually takes to create trust into a currency. And it was quite interesting, actually, during the summit in Kazan last year, that why on the one side the website was launched for BRICS Pay, and this was kind of sold as the future and the alternative payment system. Participants in Kazan, what I heard and read was, were asked to bring sufficient US dollar actually to Kazan to pay for their expenses. So ambition and reality may not be that close sometimes together.